Hey, it's Shaq, and with the NBA Finals in full gear, you know we're all over it on the Big Podcast with Shaq. Can the King bring another title to the land, or will Steph and KD make history again? We got a cover like no one else, plus the biggest guests from sports and entertainment, tons of laughs, and the top stories every week, all summer long. Just go ahead and crown those champs. The Big Podcast with Shaq, with a new episode every Monday at Podcast One.
Hey guys, let me tell you about AMSOIL. Many drivers today are looking to move beyond stock performance. AMSOIL brings that spirit to the engineering of their synthetic motor oil, combining top-tier synthetic technology with unique additives. The result is an oil capable of protecting your engine up to 25,000 miles or 1 year between oil changes. AMSOIL synthetic motor oil shields your engine from the two biggest bumps in the road, wear and deposits. Wear on pistons and cams can lead to a host of issues, including loss of power. AMSOIL provides 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by an industry standard. Deposits on rings and pistons can lead to compression loss, compromising fuel economy and power. AMSOIL synthetic motor oil delivers piston cleanliness 93% above the industry standard. The proof isn't just academic. AMSOIL tests in the field and on the track in extreme conditions and using the most demanding high-performance engines available. Check out AMSOIL.com/shift for more information. AMSOIL, devoted to protection.
Shift and steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
This is it. It's another episode of Shift and Steer.
Hello.
Yeah, everybody.
Hello.
And we got everybody here.
And Aaron's on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Aaron, is it just a beautiful sunny day up there in Tahoe?
We almost took you off the payroll, buddy.
Oh, wait, yes, the sun came. Oh, there it goes. It's stormy and rainy and windy up here. I'm telling you, I don't know where I live, but it's not normal.
Well, June showers will make June showers up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you won't believe this. It's supposed to snow.
No way. No way.
Well, there is snow in the forecast. I kid you not.
Well, what is it? It's like all the ski resorts here in California are saying, ski until July. And one of them says, we might, if everything goes right, we'll go right through to the next season.
Has that happened before?
That's right.
It's happened before, but not often.
Other than like in, I don't know, Russia?
Yeah, exactly. It must be global cooling.
Right?
What happened to the global warming? It's global cooling.
I believe Mammoth is going to stay open year round this year.
Isn't that crazy? So you literally could go water skiing in the afternoon or in the morning, and then just get your skis or your snowboard and just head on up to,
Everybody with a place in Mammoth that's Airbnb in it, it's making bank this year.
That's right. They're going, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you bet.
So, I mean, that is weird, though. I wonder what the snow's like. It's probably all slushy and...
I like slushies.
You like slushies, but not slushy snow.
Oh, I don't like snow.
Like it's soft and powdery. However, there could be, like, the girls that are up there snowboarding and skiing, they're probably not all bundled up in, like, all kinds of stuff all over their heads and their bodies.
Wait, I always imagined everyone just skied in bikinis.
Well, you see it in magazines. When does it really? It's probably really going to happen this year.
Yeah.
Matt, you could go up and ski in bikinis.
Aaron.
He didn't even answer
Aaron.
That.
Aaron. I don't look good in a bikini, and I don't know how to ski.
I'm not part of this conversation.
Aaron, are you coming down to the SoCal Open House?
Absolutely.
You better be.
Absolutely, I will be there promptly. Oh, yeah.
You know it's like next week.
I will be there.
It's next Friday.
Uh-huh.
So you got to leave right after we hang up here.
That's right. You got to get the Farfignugan fired up.
What are you bringing?
I don't know yet. I really want to drive the Mini, but the motor is just a little smoky because it's got a little blow-by, a little too much blow-by, and I don't know how it's going to be at a long distance. But I might just do it.
Well, he's not coming then.
Yeah,
he's,
so you're not coming?
We're going to get a call and he's gone. Yeah,
I was wrong. You know, I was wrong about the mini.
Didn't quite make it.
I got to get a flatbed, but the flatbed takes 4 hours.
He's gonna hitch a ride back.
Plenty of other cars drive. Well, that is the other challenge, is that I don't think I want to drive, 14 hours to get to L.A. because, the Mini does top out at kind of a lower speed. Especially going up the Grapevine or something.
Oh, but it handles so well.
It's got a killer stereo.
Yes, but it's...
Yeah.
Yes, it's got a great stereo.
It's got a great stereo in it. Yeah, all right, but don't you have a car over at SoCal?
Yes.
Oh, so you don't need to bring anything. Just drive the Jeep down or the whatever you got.
Yeah. What's your daily driver these days? Your Audi?
It really depends on the weather. No, I actually sold the TT pit to my neighbor's kid. His car was beat to hell, and I said, you know what, Zach really would be cool with a nice car, and so I sold him my car. So
you know what, don't try and pass it off like you were being magnanimous and like all generous and, he needs a new car. It was like the guy said, and you calculated in your brain, you go, oh, that's more than I paid for it. Okay, yeah, sold, dude, yeah.
I'll do you a favor.
Dude, he was driving like an 86 Toyota Celica or something.
Oh, so you traded?
It's green, the paint was all faded, and it's just... It was bad, and he's a real cool kid, and he was single at the time. His girlfriend kind of dumped him for some bad reasons, and I thought, he needs an upgrade. Start with a nice car. Now he's got a nice
You figured
girlfriend.
Out your customized plates, and then
Wait,
you got rid
so
of him.
So he got an Audi and a new girlfriend?
He got an Audi and an Innie.
I kept the plates.
So you sold your car.
I did get my mini 1960 plates in.
but you sold the Audi that you loved, and now you get to see it every day, or have to see it every day because your neighbor had
it? Yeah.
I don't know if I want to do that. If I'm selling it, get it out of my sight.
It's nice because it's a reminder. It's like every day when I see it, I go, man, that car looks good.
But eventually it's going
to
break.
Now someone else...
Eventually, it's going to break, and you're going to feel guilty.
No, it has. The water pump, the water pump went, so I helped them put a new one in that, and then the front axles are drying up pretty good, so I got him some new axles, which he's going to have to put in. But other than that, it's been a good car.
New axles. You got him new axles.
New front axles.
Yep. So, what's going on with your what's going on with your Mini? Are you done?
What's
is it ready?
The Mini.
It
pretty much is, yeah.
Except for the blow-by and the smoke and the unreliability.
And that you can't drive it anymore.
Well, we did a leak down and cylinders 1 and 3 are the rings, the oil's going past the rings.
That's those, half the those, engine.
Those engines, yeah, but no, the engine's actually okay. The rings could just be, it could be glazed over and they just could be, binding a little bit.
Or they could be gone.
It's an old race motor. It's an old race motor, so I'm just driving it. It's like some days it's better, some days it's worse, which makes me think it's intermittent. And I've checked on the leak down. I've done it a couple times, and it's different every time. So I got to say either I'm doing it wrong or it's just it's an old car, man. But that motor.
When you say it's different every time, you're saying sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad, or it's always bad, just different levels of bad?
It should be at 150 psi according to the spec of that engine that we know. Sometimes it's down as low as 105, and usually it's around 120. So it's a little low that it should be anyway, which means the engine might be a little tired, or it might just mean that the whole system is just binding a little bit because it sat for so long. That car is a real mystery car, and I got it, from a little auction house down in Sacramento, and it wasn't really meant to pass through there. And it was in the wrong place at the right time, and I got it just sickly cheap. But there's a lot of questions. But I'm waiting for Mini Mania. They've got a new engine that they're developing on a small block, on the 998 blocks. Small block, I say, lightly. And as soon as that's done, I think we're going to throw it in this car as a test.
Let's clarify one other thing. When you say some days it smokes, some days it doesn't. Do you mean on the days you drive it, it smokes, and the days it sits in the garage, yeah, it doesn't?
Yeah, when it's sitting there, it doesn't smoke. Yeah, it's just smoking hot, man. But
it'd be worse if it was the other way around.
Yeah,
if it smoked while it sat there, then that would be worse. So, and then now you guys finished up the audio system, and you didn't paint it, right? But you did.
Oh, yeah.
Did you do some graphics, or what'd you do?
I didn't paint it. I put the gumball graphics on them. I put extra large ones. They're like 18 inches. They look really cool.
Are they vinyl, like, or did you paint them?
No, I went ahead and did vinyl. The stripes are painted, and I haven't done the checkered roof. I'm still debating, but I'll probably paint that. But yeah, the rack's done. I just have the roll bar to do, which is, you know, it's going to add some weight. But I'll tell you, you add 30 pounds to that car, and my shift point changes coming up the hill. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. So if you have a big dinner.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could put the roll bar in and then hit the treadmill for a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
there
saying?
You go.
Yeah, believe me, more than a little bit.
Now, you know, Aaron, you do realize
that. I lost those 30 pounds.
Yeah, there you go.
30 pounds. I could have put a much bigger stereo in there.
That's just it. All those amps and everything. See, you could have a roll bar, but you went for those.
Yeah, exactly. I got the Kicker sent me their new. I forget the model number. I apologize, Kicker, but it's a little teeny tiny pencil box amp, and the thing just rocks.
Oh, I know, like, what you're talking about. It's like one of their
30 pounds of amps in there.
It's like one of their Power Sports amps. I saw it before. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
You know, it's made for like the UTVs and the motorcycle, like the big, you know, the big full dresser Harleys.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But the amp is, I'm telling you, it's the size of like a couple of iPhones, you know, like stacked.
It's amazing how little speakers and little amps can do so much now. You used to have to have, you know, like in your home, you had to have those giant cabinet speakers, and now it's just little ones.
Remember in the cars back, you'd have like a 1,000-watt amp, and it'd be like 24 inches long, and then you have to put like 6 fans underneath it, and, you know, and it had to be like water cooled, and now you get one just as much power, and it's the size of an iPhone. You just stick it like in a saddlebag on your bike.
And now you don't even have to worry about a head unit or anything. You just plug everything into your iPhone, and away you go.
Exactly, and I have the PXIBT system in there, which is all Bluetooth, so there's no head unit. I do know that number, and I have the pancake sub in there too, which is, I think, an 8-inch pancake sub, and the thing sounds great, especially in a little car like the Mini Cooper. I think they make them, for, like you said, for like their UTVs and for their Harley kit, their baggers and stuff like that. And it is a great system. I've got 4 6.5 speakers in there in their outside enclosures. So I made some for the back that mount on the roll cage, and then 2 in the front that I trimmed down to mount in the wheel wells. They sound phenomenal, man. The thing really sounds good.
Since we're on this subject, what was the very first car stereo you ever had? Do you remember? Like the first one that you got excited about and went, oh, man, I got a car stereo.
I know I put some in my 58 Alpha. I think I had an Alpine deck back then with some Kicker enclosed speakers. I think they were like they're a weird size. They're like a 5.2 or something. They were 5.25. They were like smaller little speakers in that enclosure. I had those behind the seats tucked in underneath where the roof would collapse into in those old Alphas.
I remember mine was my very first one was like really redneck. It was like, you know, an 8-track underneath the dash with 2 like stereo speakers in the back seat wired to that. And then when I could afford some 6x9s, man, 6x9s, but that was like state of the art. You'd put them in the you know, underneath the package tray and they'd reflect off the, and I remember my buddy who his family was, you know, his parents were really rich, and he had a brand new Charger, and he had a super tuner. I mean, with the big dial, the Pioneer super tuner, and he had 6x9s, and like you said, Aaron, the round 5.5s in the doors, and that was like, woo, man. That guy's got it all, you know.
You know, when I was in high school.
That's right, Brad. You're quite a bit older than us.
That's right. My first car, I had a piece of luggage. It was like a case that you kept all your 8-tracks in. Then when I, damn man, I stepped up to a cassette player. Then I had
your
this
world
little,
changed.
I had a cassette rack. When you open the glove box door, there's this little plastic rack that held like 20 cassettes. 20 cassettes, dude.
That's like half an iPod classic.
And you know, you'd be like sitting there listening, and all of a sudden you'd stop it really quick, you'd eject it, and you'd pull the cassette out, and the tape would follow behind it, and then you'd have to get a pencil out and go.
Yeah. My buddy Kevin in high school had a Mustang. He had a white Fox Body GT. No big surprise there. And he worked in a music store and didn't have, you know, he's like wanted the killer stereo, didn't have the money for it, especially then because car audio stuff
they were
was really expensive.
Yeah, man.
So we just went to Radio Shack and bought the inverter. We got the 110-volt deal. And we went into his room. We grabbed his home stereo and his two giant speakers, put two giant speakers in the dash, put the car stereo on the back seat where it was facing the front of the car.
So you turn around, reach back?
Yeah, so you're just driving your car. You just reach back and grab the big dial. It was loud, dude. We'd pull up, and, like, it would be so loud. People are like, damn, what do you got in there? I'm like, don't even look. The windows are tinted. Like, don't even look.
Right.
Like, it's expensive. It's a really expensive system, but no, it was his home.
You were in a parking lot once, and a guy came up with a van, and he goes, hey, I just got done doing this job, ended up with a couple extra speakers.
That has happened, no lie, probably 5 times.
And when he stuck his head in the window, he went, oh, you've already got it.
Yeah. Were you, Bob, are you here already? He goes, and he'd be like, that can't be our speakers, those work.
Do you remember those guys?
That happened to me so many times.
I had it happen most recently. Since I've been in this building, what, like 15 years ago?
Yeah.
So, like, right after I was at the store, and the guy goes, hey, we just got done doing this job, and, you know, we were doing an install, and we got a couple of speakers. Got in one of them, but they're already paid for. You know, I can pay a few bucks. You can get a good deal. I'm like going, yeah, okay. You know.
It's funny. The evolution of that, the new version of that.
It's iPads, isn't it?
No, it's the guy that's, like, in the, like, grocery store parking lot, and he's like, I see you got a little bump in your bumper there. He's like, you're going to the store for like 45 minutes. I can fix that right up. And like a couple rattle cans and some sandpaper later, you come back and you got like this dull like silver spot on your silver car. And he's like,
I've never had that one.
Oh, yeah. The guy's done it a bunch of times. And my roommate at the time was backed into like a pole in like a Nissan Altima that he had.
Yeah.
And he had the parking lot guy do it for like – for like $40. And I came back and I'm like, what happened to your bumper? It's like, guy fixed it. I was like,
made it worse.
It's like, I wouldn't call that a fix. Yeah. But it's just like, dude out there with like sandpaper and a rattle can.
Well, I saw a thing on the news where the other new rendition of that is like iPads, right?
Yeah.
Everybody wants an iPad. So, or iPhones. And the guy comes walking up to you in the parking lot and he goes, hey, we were doing this big corporate deal. We ended up with some extra phones. And he pulls out the right box, opens it up. Everything's in there. And so he gives it to you for like this ridiculously stupid price.
Yeah.
Cash right now. When he turns around into his trunk of his car, he grabs a different box. And it's all sealed in plastic and everything. Because, well, you want a brand new one, don't you? And he splits. You open it up. And there's usually just something weighted inside a real box, you know.
Oh, that's a full-on scam.
Oh, it's total scam. Well, the speakers were.
My buddy got his bumper painted.
Yeah, with a rattle can. And the guys who bought the speakers that were, you know, looked really good, and inside there was like either nothing or like a magnet that went.
Yeah,
you know?
The speaker was like a $7 Chinese knockoff.
Yeah,
and he's like, no, these are the best.
Right,
it's got
right.
These are Infinity.
The
dude.
Head units are always like it's not Sony, but Sony guts.
Yeah. Or they would have like the Infinity logo. These are Infinity speakers, dude. It's like, you know, no, I don't think they are because they don't sound the same.
No,
man.
It's not the same. All right, so the Mini's good.
Radio Shack. Yeah.
So the Mini's good. You got it mostly dialed in. Your engine sucks.
Yep.
But your stereo's awesome. So you can go to your shop. You could sit in it, listen to the stereo, not really drive it. But.
Oh, hell no. I drive that thing everywhere.
He terrorizes.
And everybody knows from the smoke. Here it comes.
He is the terror of Tahoe.
Well, Well, here's the funny thing. It doesn't smoke out of the tailpipe. There's a vent tube, and I have it as open air as possible, but I took it outside the grill and mounted to the side of the fender away from the tire because that smokes. I mean, there's like blow-by coming out of the crankcase. It's hilarious.
It just smokes in the cabin. It's weird.
Yeah.
When are you going to do that motor swap? When?
I'm not sure. I'm waiting for the guys from Indy. You know, it's kind of a privileged thing that they need a car. I guess they've all got trick motors in their cars and no one wants to rip it out. So they asked me if I'd volunteer, and I'm like, hell yeah.
And how much is that motor going to cost you when you decide to keep it?
Oh, probably is more than I've got in the car. But what I'm hoping is I could. My motor's a good motor. It's got the flat top, you know, oversized pistons, a big bore. It's got a Cooper S head. I mean, it's a good motor. It's just a little tired. So I'm gonna have them freshen it up. So even my motor smoked a 1275 Mini. I mean, smoked it bad.
It smokes. You just said that.
Yeah, but did it beat it?
right. So they're running 50 to 60 horsepower on average, and I pulled on them on every straightaway and was gaining on them on every hill. So I got to say, mine's got at least 60, if not 60 plus horsepower, tired. So if I get that motor back into shape, it might be running 80 horsepower, which is quite possible. So I would run that. I could have a 80 horsepower. I know, right?
Okay.
You should put a Hellcat motor in that thing, man.
Yeah, it can't handle the weight.
It would have to go on the back. It would have to go mid-engine, like mid-car, yeah.
So Matt, we were talking on the last episode about those Lamborghinis you were trying to sell.
Yes.
And any update on those?
Sold. I mean, sold two Lamborghini Miras for the price of one. No, that's not.
That's nothing to brag about.
I it took forever and the market's kind of bad, but.
Wait. I don't mean to interrupt, but here, Dad's calling me on the house phone.
Okay, well, you just go ahead and ignore him.
Well, no, because it's funny, because every time he calls, he laughs.
All right, put him on.
Put him on.
Get him on the line.
Tell me you want to know how Oklahoma is. Ask him how Jimmy Buffett's place in Oklahoma was.
Yeah, well, he keeps calling. He's calling like three times since we've been doing the podcast, so I keep leaving the room because it's very disruptive. But I have to say, he's laughed three times on the answer machine.
He's having fun. He's got something to tell you.
He's got something big to tell you.
You
man.
Better go talk to him and come back and tell us what's going on, because now I'm curious. And now that we know he's out of town, can we drive his LaFerrari?
Yeah, let's drive his LaFerrari while he's gone.
While he's gone. Speaking of LaFerraris.
I don't think Brad can reach the pedals. I don't think Matt can reach the pedals.
Wait a minute. I met your dad. He's not that tall.
Yeah.
No, actually, you're right. He's about 5'7" and shrinking now.
See? I can definitely reach the pedals. I've been waiting for your dad to shrink to my size. Now
I can't reach the pedals anymore. I'll drive it for you, Dad.
I'll drive it for you. So speaking of LaFerrari, I'm going to Adam and I are taking this trip to screen our film, The 24-Hour War, at the Henry Ford in Detroit.
Okay.
And we're going to be taking a tour of Linkenfelter's collection, finally. And I mentioned this to you, Aaron, you weren't around. I've never been to Detroit. And so I'm excited to go.
And we mentioned that you must be a communist.
And I'm going to go to Henry Ford. I'm going to go to the museum.
Which is cool.
And then we're going to tour maybe like Roush and Linkenfelter, whoever's around.
See how this is going. You and I were supposed to go to Lingenfelter's, but see, you're taking Adam instead. I see.
I got somebody else to pay for it. Yeah. As long as somebody else paid for it, I'm good to go.
He's been offering for a couple years, hasn't he, Brad?
Yeah, I know. Ken was supposed to bring us out, but now, see?
Ken is a sweetheart. He would welcome us there anytime. He's a good dude.
Yeah, I know, but he's got to pay the way for us to get there. You know?
Well, he's not that good of a dude. He's not insane.
Come on, man. It's like he's got lots of cash. He can buy all those cars. Doesn't he want Shift and Steer there live?
Probably
Probably not. I don't want those guys there. No.
So I'm curious to see his collection. He's got his LaFerrari, among other things, there. But
he's got lots of stuff.
He's got, I don't know, 160, he's always, 180.
Every time we see him, he's buying something.
Yeah.
It's like we know lots of guys like that that just buy cars and buy cars.
You could pretty much say he keeps Meekum in business. Like, I feel like he does enough buying and selling.
Yeah.
That he keeps Meekum in business. Like, Meekum should fly him out. People from Meekum, you should be listening. You should be flying Ken Lingenfelter out to all of these auctions instead of him flying himself, because he buys and sells more cars at all of those auctions for fun. And he's just – he trades them like stocks. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not he's just out there wasting money on cars. He sells a bunch of cars to get other cool stuff that he likes. You know, he does cycle through his collection, except for all his really cool shit. You know, his Bugatti and his LaFerrari, and he's got a 288 GTO. You know, he's got some cool stuff.
Who doesn't? Come on, you talk like that's like a real rarity or something. Like, I mean, you know, I mean,
Matt, good stuff.
Well, okay, Matt doesn't. Aaron, you. Well, no, Aaron didn't. No, I don't either. So, okay.
Well,
you
have got some cool, unusual cars.
You do.
You've got some cool unusual.
You have a smoking mini.
Smoking mini. So you know, we kind of glazed over. So the Lambos got sold. The Miras got sold.
Yeah, we sold two Miras.
They went out of the country, right?
They did. So this guy, by the way, doing a deal on cars like this and an international deal, I got the call Friday about doing the deal, and
you said they went to Bahrain and the guy didn't care he's going to make them into off-road racers.
We were able to close the deal, collect the money, pack up the cars, and ship them out by yesterday. We did it basically nice. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 4 days we did a deal. These guys were fantastic. They're like, I'm on it. It's done. The shipping company called me. And by the way, this guy wants to drive his cars on the weekend, so the cars got picked up from us at our shop, went directly to LAX, met with a customs agent, got on a plane, and the cars flew over there. He's probably getting them today.
Wow.
Like, they'll probably have to sit in customs there at some point.
No, he's paying those guys off.
But he's a big dealer out there as well. This guy owns a factory Ferrari Maserati dealer in London, and he deals in classic cars. And so I'm sure he's got it, you know, kind of figured out. And the guy's just like, I just want to get my cars. It's like,
was Adam like in a little way like they're
yeah,
going
a little bit.
You know, because I mean, to have two Miras is pretty spectacular. I know he's still got one, but it'd be kind of like, you know, it was so cool to walk out there and see three of them. You know,
but then when it all came together very quickly, Adam's like, it's good. So now we've got some money. You know, we're going to pay off a couple things, and he and I have been looking at you know, these two other race cars that we like, nowhere near the price of the Miras, you know, you know, like 20% of the price of the Miras. He's like, maybe we should start talking about those cars, start talking to the owners of those cars, see what we can do. And then Adam's business manager called. He's like, hey, congratulations on the cars. He's like, yeah. He goes, it's good because that's how much we owe in taxes. So this is perfect. And then Adam called me. He's like, fucking Tony Reed called me and told me we owe all this money in taxes, you know, from what he makes and the business and everything else. And I was like, so Tony's like, this is a win. I was like, this is not this. And Adam just started yelling at me. Just yelling, not at me, but he's just like, he goes, don't ever tell me I don't pay my fair share. He goes, because the government just asked for $1 million. And he goes, and I have to pay that goddamn thing. And now we can't buy more cars. And he goes, so we just sold all these things and we can't put them back into the collection. I was like, damn.
You know what? I don't feel sorry for him.
No.
I'm sorry, but, no. You know. But you know what? Thank God he's got a business manager like that, because he could have one like some of these other stars that you hear about.
Right? Like Nicolas Cage's business
Nicolas
manager.
Nicolas Cage.
Elton John's business manager.
Who is the the one guy I cannot think. He was in all kinds of action movies. Wesley Snipes.
Could have been his business manager.
I mean, you know, where these guys just wake up one day and they're like, what do you mean I owe $20 million?
It's like I've never seen $20
million. Exactly, you know?
Yeah, no, Adam went to, like, high school with his business manager. And this guy has all these super clients now because they're all, like, Adam's friends. You know, he's got, I don't know, like, Kimmel and Bill Simmons and all these guys. And basically the same roster that Adam's agent has.
Yeah.
Tony has as business clients, and I think Tony just bought an M4. Maybe it's got an M5.
Okay.
But it's a bright blue.
Those are cool.
It's a bright blue M car, and I went over there to meet with the accountant that works for Tony, and I met with the accountant, and then on the way out, I was like, that's got to be Tony's new car.
Does Tony have a manager that he calls and goes, hey, I'm thinking about making this purchase?
Tony's not allowed to buy or sell anything without calling me. But Tony's the good manager where Adam's like a little nervous. He's like, should I call Tony or will you call Tony and ask him if we can buy this car? And then when I do call him, he's like, why do you ask me? It's not my money. It's Adam's money. He can buy whatever he wants. I go, yeah, but
when he talks to Adam, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah. He's like, Adam, you can buy whatever you want. You just don't have the money. You got to pay a lot of taxes.
Yeah. it's all like that, you know, because like, you know, with my partner, it's the same thing where he's my business partner, where he's, you
not
know,
your lover.
I clarified it. Nowadays, you have to clarify. So, but, you know, he's always like, yeah, I got to call my manager, and, you know, I'm thinking about buying this boat or this house or this car. And you're just like, you know, it's just a whole different
world. Okay, but with Mikey specifically, like, we've been to auctions. His wife busts his balls and says, don't buy that, don't buy that. Adam doesn't tell his wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we went to
Adam
auction.
Doesn't bring his wife to the auction. That's
you,
the
you
difference.
Were there with me. We went to the auction and spent $5 million on a Porsche. I don't think Lynette found out for like 8 months.
Like, she got this statement from the finance company, and she goes, boy, this statement's 3 inches thick. What's going on?
Yeah. They're like, what do you mean congratulations on the purchase of your used Porsche? You're like, why is there a bottle of champagne from Gooding & Company?
Exactly. What are these photos online of, like, you know, Matt and Brad standing there?
Yeah. What are they so excited about? Why is that guy on stage yelling and pointing at him with a gavel?
Exactly.
Did they go to jail? No, I don't think she found out. And it's funny because we only had it for a couple of months, and then it went to Bruce Canepa. So she comes over to do a podcast in that warehouse. I don't know that she's seen the car in person, and it's coming up on a year that we've had it.
And now if she, like, hears, you know, this Bruce guy, he keeps coming by with his handout too. What's going on there?
Yeah, Bruce keeps showing up with invoices.
Big invoices.
Yeah, big invoices. By the way, we're going to be that car is supposed to be done and race prepped. Bruce Canepa's got it ready. I know this because he invoiced us. And then he called four times saying, pay your bill. And we're trying to plan a test day with it in Sonoma. But the test day...
It was one of those private track days where all the guys go?
Yes, but, you know, we're like, how do we do a test day and not have to pay for the whole thing? And it just so happened that Jay Leno wants to do an episode of Jay Leno's Garage
how
in Sonoma.
Convenient.
So we're like, when do you want to do this? And now the date's changed twice, so I don't know for sure.
That's so weird because we talked about my Astro van on the last episode.
Yeah. Are you going to race it in Sonoma?
And Jay Leno called and he said, I want to do an Astro van episode.
Yeah.
No,
that didn't
happen. Didn't happen. He didn't call Aaron and say, I want to do a Smoky Mini. And he didn't call you and say, hey, I want to
do a Fox Body.
Fox body that hasn't run.
Yeah, and I'll update you guys on that too.
I can actually tell you, Brad, that he might be coming up here to shoot a little segment in my shop. So
he does want to do a Smoky Mini.
Yeah,
it's been rumored that he may come up here and shoot a segment at the Rat Runner Garage. Yeah, so, and it's the Pinsgauer that actually has him interested.
Oh, you better fire that thing up.
Yeah, you better make sure it runs. And
the Pinsgauer,
he wants something else to flip.
It runs good. It just currently doesn't stop. I got a leaky wheel cylinder.
The Pinsgauer is the truck that's 8 feet tall and then has 6 feet of snow on the roof.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay. While we're on the subject, let me interrupt once again.
It's probably rusting a hole.
The rolling glacier.
The Russian. No, have you guys seen the Russian Sherp? S-H-E-R-P.
No, what is
Russian
it?
Russian shirt. Oh.
Is this something that came up in testimony yesterday?
It's only a foot longer than the Mini, so it's 11 feet long. is like 6 feet wide. It's just a foot longer and bigger than the Mini. But it runs on a Kubota diesel engine. And it is an AT vehicle like you have never seen. I mean, it is amazing. Look it up. SHERP. S-H-E-R-P. It's this thing can do anything off-road. I was obsessed with it a couple days ago on YouTube for like 5 hours. Nisha, my wife, is like, "What are you watching?" I'm like, "Oh my god, honey, I got to have one." They're like 40 to 70 thousand, depending on the options. I'm going, they're actually less than I thought they'd be. Not that I could afford one, but it's like I'm going, okay,
that's what your Mini motor is going
to
cost.
Yeah, cool. He's got 5 hours to do that, but you know he's got to drive. Wait, did you pull it up, Matt? What's it look like?
I was done after the Mini. I thought there's nothing else I really want that I can afford, so I'm done. And then I saw this. I'm like, okay, that's a goal.
I see stuff I want all the time. My wife says I don't have any room for it.
Wait, does it have giant balloon wheels?
It has giant balloon wheels. Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Let me see a picture of it, Matt.
Watch some of the videos on the performance.
Wait, hold on a minute.
How cool is that thing?
This thing's pretty badass.
Right, isn't it?
It looks like a cartoon.
It does.
Oh, I have seen these because they float and they drive them on the ice.
Maybe
and...
you do need to get one of these because now I really like it. We'll post some pictures up on our social media.
That thing, man.
And up
that
on,
thing's so cool.
Shift Steer Media.
Yeah, we'll post a picture of this.
Something.
That's
Let's go in on it.
That's really cool. I'm going to buy one of those.
Think that's the only thing I can think of that I would get rid of the Pinsgauer for. That's the only comparable vehicle that I would get rid of the
Pinsgauer. Well, convince Leno to buy the Pinsgauer when he comes up there. And tell me you want a Russian balloon truck.
A Russian balloon truck.
And the only way to do it is if he buys the Pinsgauer.
That would be that would be one of those vehicles that you could just literally unload and take anywhere.
You could put the Mini in it.
You could just
yeah.
traverse the USA from coast to coast in it, literally.
Matt, the cab is only a foot longer and wider than the Mini. The Mini is 5 by 10 feet, and this is like 6 by 11 feet.
Wonder what its range is.
You know what's funny is when you look it up, there's a graphic. Like, if you just click on Google Images, there's a graphic of, like a rendering, and then it has a guy in the rendering to show scale.
Yeah.
It shows you that,
yeah.
Like,
oh, okay, yeah.
The reason
so
why
it's a lot bigger than I thought.
It looks like it's giant because it's all tire. You know, like,
yeah, but it's not. It's small. Yeah, it's small. But actually, Brad, the range you can get up to a 52-gallon capacity tank or something, and with that little Kubota tractor engine, I'm not sure if it's a 4 or 6 cylinder, but only a 4 cylinder. It's a low speed, high torque vehicle. But it's like 2 to 3 pounds per hour, right?
So do you know, have you figured out what the range is? I mean, what is it, 100 miles or?
Well, the range is is a week of driving off-road almost. I mean, 2 or 3 gallons per hour running time. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
And it's how big a tank? I couldn't hear you because somebody was calling in on our secure shift and steer line here.
Oh, when I was reading the specs, it said that you could get up to 52 gallons, I think it said.
Oh, so. That's okay. That's quite a bit then. Well, I mean, it looks like it's
11 feet long.
It's a military spec vehicle, so I'm sure. I mean, you know, they don't carry lots of fuel. I mean, they have to have it in the vehicle.
It's the bizarre Russian Mini monster truck. It's 11 feet long. It's 65 grand.
That's it.
It has 44.3 horsepower.
Is there a dealer here in town?
Tonka. Tonka is the dealer. I don't know.
Because we'll go...
Canada. Most of the YouTube ones, it was showing in Canada. But it has a neat trailer. It literally drives in the trailer. It doesn't even strap down. The guy gets out of the front of the cab, walks into his truck, and drives off. But it's not street legal. I don't think you could make it street legal. So it's a tow wherever you're going only.
Yeah, but where do you live?
Sure, it's cool, man.
I literally think I'm going to buy one.
I could probably get away with it.
You said they're 65 grand?
Yeah. I mean, I just looked online real quick.
I wonder how fast it goes.
But they're new, making them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're brand new. I think full enchilada with the hard top and like the interior trimmings, I think they're about 70,000.
Plus you got to add your kicker stereo.
Bad. Yeah, you got to add a stereo.
Totally. It's got a stereo in it. But if you think about it, guys, I mean, come on. for an off-road vehicle at that capacity, you can't get a full, like, the full-tuned Unimog that's all tricked out. You can't buy an Expedition vehicle. You can't even buy, an H1. They were more than that new. So
no, I'm just thinking
money,
make it into a giant cooler and take it to the beach.
You think I can park it on Venice Boulevard?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think the Kingsgower brand new in the 70s military cost was more than that. You know, they were probably $150,000 a piece.
What,
you know,
engine's in a Penzgauer?
Really expensive. It's a specialty engine. It's made by Steyr Pusch, and it's a little four-cylinder air-cooled engine. It's like a Boxster-style engine, four cylinders on the
side. What's it, a Volvo motor or something?
It's its own motor. I don't know if they use.
Where do you get parts for it? When it breaks, where do you?
SwissArmyVehicles.com. They're actually, for most of those parts, it's not bad. It's really not bad. It's they share a lot of components with Unimog, so there's quite a surplus of them.
Well, you know, you could have one of those or a Lamborghini LM2000. You know, I mean, you know, which are just so cheap to get
an
and maintain.
Well, an LM2. What? No, you can't keep that thing running for the life of God.
And
it's the same engine I've got over at the shop. Now that I think about it, all those Lamborghinis at the shop, the engines are crap.
They're very expensive to maintain, and they don't really.
It's funny because they're kind of like the Chevy small block of Lamborghini engines. Their 12-cylinder engine is the same engine that was like all the way up through the Diablo.
Yeah,
it just progressed over the years like the small block Chevy engine did. Yeah, it was 3 liters, 4 liter, and it got a little bigger and got a couple cams in it and stuff like that. And then it got fuel injection, electronic ignition, and stuff. But pretty much it's the same thing. Like, you crack it open, it's really not that complicated. It's still just the regular, just the basics of an engine.
It's just two Chevy V6s, Matt.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah, they weld them together, man. So what's going on with your Fox body?
Well, things have been kind of...
We thought you'd be driving it by now,
I thought I'd be driving it by now. Things have been a little nuts, and, like, I can only go down there and work on it on the weekends, so things have been kind of busy recently, but... the last update was taking it down to Magnaflow and getting the full exhaust and stuff on it. And then the guys photo scanned the front and are making
for your
the
inlets.
Making the fog light ram air induction kits. Yeah. My guy over at the shop finished up the intercoolers. So there was the twin intercoolers with the scoops on the bottom. Now the scoops are up on the top. And they're sort of contoured around the piping. And we're putting sort of a 4-inch oval port onto those, so the tubes will all hook up, and right now I'm just working on the brakes, got to bleed the brakes, and that's pretty much buttoned up. We'll
don't
be buttoned
bleed
up
them onto the rims, okay?
That doesn't no, doesn't work. Bleed the brakes. I'm putting the intercoolers probably this weekend. I'll probably bleed the brakes. Probably put the intercoolers in. Start putting some of the engine back together. But one of the weak spots in the Mustangs is the power steering pump.
Okay.
And the way the bracket and everything works with it, it's kind of proprietary, right? So to get an aftermarket pump like a GM pump or a KRC pump, they make great pumps. It doesn't really fit well. And then to add things to make it more complicated, when you put the supercharger bracket on and everything.
No, the original bracket doesn't work.
So the original pump works with the supercharger and stuff, but without the supercharger, you'd have more room to make a custom bracket for a KRC pump.
Right.
When you put the supercharger on, you don't have more room.
It ate all the room.
There's just layers of bracketry that make it really odd, and it's tough to sort of line up the holes of the pump. Like, it's either too far back or too far forward. It makes it really complicated. And the way the supercharger bracket comes around, the shape of the bracket has sort of like a big round like C cut into it, and that fits perfectly around the power steering pulley, right? To the point where there's only about a 1/4-inch gap, just enough to slide a belt onto the pulley,
right?
And that's it. But I'm convinced that that pump is crap, and I've got to make this KRC pump work somehow. So what I took is I took the entire bracketry off, the whole front engine accessories with the supercharger and everything. I assembled it basically on a bench, with the power steering pump and everything. So now without the engine involved, we have the whole bracketry assembled. And now we're looking at the KRC pump and the stock pump that's on it mounted and going, how can we make this fit? And our guy in the shop over at Corolla's Garage, he's a fantastic fabricator, has been looking at it and kind of thinks he can come up with a solution. But that's a huge problem solver. You know, like if you want to do track days and things like that are fun with the Mustang, you pretty much go with a manual rack. You know, and I kind of want a really cool street car that I can take to the track occasionally. The idea was to try to make it as much like a modern day Corvette or Mustang as possible. And that's one of the major flaws in the system. The KRC pump is way more efficient. It's better built.
Yeah, it's high volume.
It's got, you know, and it's got a remote reservoir for it, you know, so you can make it smaller or larger. You can put an inline cooler if you wanted to. Like, there's all this cool stuff you can do once you step up to the professional. So we have some fabrication around that.
So you are still going to mount it under the car and drive the belt off the drive shaft of the car. So it's not
exactly
in the way.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if it's going to work well, but okay, I'll power to you.
Which, listen, I'm telling you, an option is to just take that damn power steering pump, move it to the completely other side of the engine, make a custom bracket, figure out the belt wrap. And just
make sure you don't put too much stress on that bolt because it could break off in your block.
That's true.
Like it did in mine.
Like it did in yours. And you're not running a supercharger or any of that stuff. But look, I got the Pro Charger and the supercharger brackets are like a half inch thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're like, oh, it's aluminum. Doesn't weigh much. It weighs.
No, those Pro Chargers weigh.
Yeah, that Pro Charger is heavy and it's all badass, powder coated in black. But as you sort of assemble things and then take it apart and reassemble it and test fit, you know, it gets frustrating because you do that three or four times.
You know, that's,
but you have to do it.
That's a good point because that's what a lot of people that don't build their own cars, like they have somebody like a Bodie Stroud or somebody build their car. And they're, you know, because we used to have people at Boyd's ask us all the time, why are there so many hours? Well, because you don't just buy a bunch of parts, bolt it on and you're done, roll the car out the door.
Yep.
You got to trial fit stuff. Yeah. You got to put it all together. And then even when everything's done, you got to put it all back together.
Yeah.
Make sure everything works, then blow it apart, have it painted, plated, done, whatever. Then you put it back together, you know?
The funny thing about cars is, like, you can sit
there. You forgot the spacer.
Well, it's not even about forgetting stuff. It's
blow it apart again.
It's every aftermarket parts manufacturer, especially out here, they usually do a really good job of making a good quality part that fits your vehicle, okay? But nobody thinks about how does it fit your vehicle with 15 other modifications. To simplify it.
Exactly. Yep.
To simplify it, Brad, you run into this into the wheel world all the time. Somebody says, hey, man, got a 69 Camaro, want to put some 18s on it. And then they're like, okay, no problem. I got that. Now you're smart enough to ask because you've been doing this forever. Hey, man, what rear suspension you have? Oh, it's basically stock, but I happen to be using this guy's leaf springs, which are wider, or I'm using a Detroit Speed and Engineering rear end. And the guy's like, I can put 10s on there. I know I can put 10s. Everybody, all my friends run 10s, but all your friends have a different suspension than you do.
Exactly. Or the other thing is, hey, okay, now you run aftermarket brakes? Yeah, I'm just gonna put some Wilwoods on it or something.
Yeah.
Well, then he gets the wheels and he goes, hey, they don't fit, man. Well, I go, what's going on? They don't clear the calipers, and then you start delving into it and you find out he goes, well, I started talking to my buddy, so I decided to go to the 6Ps, total 6-piston with 15-inch rotors, and I go, yeah, you ordered 17-inch wheels. That's not going to work.
It's not going to work. What do you mean? 17's bigger than 15?
That's what they all think, yep.
Yeah, 17's bigger than 15? No, it never run into that. Like, an example was I had the supercharger, ordered what I wanted on the supercharger, and then put it all together, and I have it's a 12 PSI kit, but I have a 12 rib supercharger belt, mostly because it looks fucking badass.
Yeah, they look cool.
Right? And you're like, this would be great. I don't know why everybody doesn't run 12 rib. Now I know why. Because when you put 12 rib on there, you can't put a radiator in the car, and you can't put a shroud on it. It goes so far out, you can't fit anything. So At SEMA, I had like a stock shroud and stuff in there because that's all we could fit at the time. It didn't even have a fan on it because you couldn't fit the supercharger. But that's
just extraneous. You don't need all that crap.
So then I came back and I called our friends at Jarelli and I was like, I need a shroud with some electric fans. And our guy was like, great, I got what you need. This will fit perfect. Here's the dimensions. Sends it to me. Big dual fan setup. And where the two fans meet, it's hitting the supercharger pulley.
That's what they make hammers for.
And I'm like, it's just... I was like, it's about a half inch too thick. Uh-huh. The whole, like, it's an aluminum shroud with the fans mounted on. It's about a half inch too thick total. And he's like, well, we've got to go to another system. And, you know, he had what we wanted. It's a single fan unit. It's a bigger fan, but it's a lower profile fan and whatnot. So it does flow more air, but it will seal really nicely on there. And I've got a huge radiator.
Does it push or pull?
It's in the car. It's a puller. I don't have like an extra fan in the front.
Just wondering because you know it's always a big question. Does it push or pull air?
Yeah,
and you know I'm just kind of tossing the whole equipment all over. Are you still there, Aaron?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's funny how many people don't get the push pull thing. It's like back to the Mini. The Mini vents out the side, and it actually pulls. And it pulls air out of the engine compartment through the left wheel.
Does it pull the smoke out too?
Well, we tried that. We tried venting it out to that, and then it just covered my fan with oil. So, and then the wheel on the brake too. That was Nick's idea. Yeah, that was Nick's idea. For once, Nick didn't have a good idea. I'm like, I don't think that's going to work. He said, "Hey, you'll have to clean it a little bit."
Like every couple of miles you gotta hit it with some brake cleaner. It's fine.
Nick doesn't think I'll drive it.
just carry a can of that brake cleaner with you, and you know what you could do? You could figure out a system where you just hit a little micro switch on the dash, and as you're driving it just and
like the misters on the brakes, but it just sprays out brake cleaner.
That'd
be great. Well, look, it's getting there. I'm excited to be working on the car. It's getting a little better. There's going to be a couple of months of all these little details and stuff, but I just want to get it fired up and get it on the dyno and whatnot. But it's going to be
Because it's been a couple months and a couple months. And
I'm pretty sure Adam's like, I want my lift back.
Yeah, I want my lift back. Yeah. Hey, I got Lamborghinis and BMWs and stuff like that in here. I really don't want that car.
He gives a lot of tours, and all of his tours are like, that's not my car. That's all he says is like, that's not my car.
That's my Lamborghini. That was Paul Newman's. That had nothing to do with Paul Newman.
Don't even look at that.
It's like,
Although he opened the hood the other day because we were painting something. And he like a chassis black.
Yeah.
And there's like a flat black. There's a gloss black. And I went with – I did my engine all in a low gloss engine enamel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not semi-gloss and there's whatever they have, this new low gloss. I kind of liked it. And it matched some of my other parts.
That's nice.
And then –
the satin.
And Adam saw some cans. He's like, what's low gloss? And I'm like, I got it all over my engine. And he's like, oh, got to see. I just stood back. I just want to see what he would do. And he went over and he opened the hood. He's like, yeah, I like it. I like it. Yeah. And then he closed the hood and he scurried out, washed his hands.
I had to touch that F body. So,
moving along. So
let's talk, before we wrap up the show today, let's talk about the SoCal Open House and what we're going to be doing there and everything like that. I mean, we've been doing SoCal. This will be, is this the fourth year we've done it?
I think so.
I think it is.
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's like fourth year. It'll be our first year without Pete. It's going to be, a little bit different out at SoCal with, without Pete there, but, he'll sure be there in memory. And the open house is moving forward. We'll be there broadcasting live. Dave Merrick's going to join us, who is my co-host on Man Seeks Adventure. And we know we're going to drag in some good people. Michael Anthony's coming out. He's bringing his Roadster out because he's in town for just like a couple days from his tour with Sam. And he'll be in town, so he's going to come out. So we'll drag him on one of the mics. And
you know, there's always going to be some people out there. It's going to be interesting discussion, and it's always fun. There's always lots of great cars. Come out. It's next Friday, which is the 16th, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, it's the Friday before Father's Day, and you can Google SoCal Speed Shop of Pomona and get the address, and it starts at 1 o'clock and runs till like 5 or 6, and, you know, we'll be there. We'll look forward to seeing you. Come up, say hi.
Aaron may or may not be there.
Yeah. You know,
depending on his trip. If he drives.
I'll be there.
If you are driving down to L.A. from NorCal, you know, to attend, you know, Father's Day or one of the many open houses around the L.A. Roadster Show, and you happen to see Aaron broke down on the side of the road, would you please pick him up?
Just pick him up.
Yeah,
just
pick him up, bring him down.
Do us a favor.
So,
yeah, just pick him up.
That way that way,
bring some bottled water.
I fit easily in a long bed pickup.
I can see Aaron pull up out front, you know, and he jumps out, thanks, and...
Aaron, you have Red Voodoo over at the SoCal shop?
I do. I have Red Voodoo over there. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I know it's been over there 2 years now because I have my second sticker hanging on the door, and I still have last year's sticker hanging on the door for registration, so it hasn't gone anywhere. We're waiting on a schedule to mess with the front end a little bit, and then I could bring her home.
That's weird. Brad was telling me this week he spoke to Pete Chaporis Jr., and they sold it. They did like a... They did like a
Peter
title.
Did a lean. A
they did
lean
like a title
sale.
Lean on it, and
he said.
Now I told him to call me if he's got to do that. I'll go.
He said he couldn't get you. Like we couldn't earlier.
Yeah,
your phone
he
was,
said he couldn't get you, and
your
he said we tried.
Beep it.
Said he was under pressure, and
all right. Well, come out to the show, and you may or may not see Red Voodoo there. And because it's a hot rod show, I'm going to bring a McLaren 570S,
which totally makes sense. So
yeah,
so you'll see Red Voodoo, you see Michael's Fire Roadster, plus the McLaren, and a ton of other cars and people, and
yeah,
and it's supposed to be good and hot. It's supposed to be like 100 degrees.
There's food trucks,
and they're A-rated food trucks too, not the ones that.
There's some good food trucks.
No, there's always, and you know what? If you haven't gone before, it is really a good time, and it's
I'm gonna have a grilled cheese sandwich. Yeah.
There you go, grilled cheese. But
maybe
but
tacos.
There's lots of open houses. I know Jimmy Shine's having an open house next weekend. I know a lot of the local shops have
on
open
the same
houses.
Day?
No, his is on Saturday.
Saturday. Jimmy will probably be at SoCal.
Yeah, he'll probably bop by if he's not getting all set up. But
yeah.
But no, there's lots going on. So be sure to come out and say hi to us. Come by and say, hey, Matt, you're my favorite one on the show. And then look at me.
I'd be
and,
like, I know.
And then look at me and go, I'm just saying that, Brad. I'm just
saying
that.
But you're my
that.
Favorite, Brad.
And then look at Aaron and go, hey, Aaron, you're my favorite on the show. And then wink at me and go,
it's really you.
It's really you. So, and then you can tell Dave, you're the best guy in Man Seeks Adventure. So
yeah.
You can tell him, go, you're the best guy with a faux hawk on Man Seeks Adventure.
Let's face it, Heather's the best part of that show.
Hell yeah. Well, she was in studio last week. You know, she was in from Chicago, and she was like, oh, it's so great to be back. And Dave and I were like, so great to have our bartender back.
Right? Making cocktails for you guys.
Yeah. She always whips
up the
good
stuff. I saw
the
video where, like, you all were getting antsy. She's like, shut up. You're going to get a drink already. She's like, Jesus, calm down, you...
Well, she was like wiping out the cup with her fingers, and Dave goes, you washed your hands, didn't you? And she's like, it's alcohol. It's going to kill everything. So, anyways, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to another Shift and Steer. I'm Brad Fanshaw.
Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
And who's on the mini phone?
There he is.
Aaron.
Call your dad back.
Hey, call your dad back.
The mountain man.
Ask him how Jimmy Buffett's was. So
I need to.
But all right, everybody, this has been another episode of Shift and Steer. Matt, where can they find us online?
Check us out at shiftandsteer.com and all of our social media, Shift Steer Media. And thanks for listening, guys.
Hey, and don't forget, you can also find each of us individually on our social media. So, you know, look for us on Instagram because there's at Motorator on Instagram.
That's me.
There is at Aaron Hagar on Instagram and at Brad Fanshaw on Instagram. Or is mine Bondspeed Brad?
Right.
I screwed up my own.
I think it's Bondspeed
Brad.
Instagram.
So,
Bondspeed Wheels, Bondspeed.
Yeah. But no, everybody go there and like our ours too, because we post some really cool stuff. Aaron's always putting little videos up of him driving and doing stuff. And Matt's always got Fox bodies on there and Lamborghinis.
It's weird. It's a weird account of Fox bodies and Lamborghinis.
It's
like
the
followers don't know though, like what they're looking at. They're like, also there's a bunch of Datsuns, like Datsun race cars.
Right.
So there's no like, hey, all Fox body fans, come follow me. Like, nah, there's...
Do you ever get those guys that were like you can tell what happens. You post a Lamborghini, and some guy who's into Lamborghinis and supercars, he's like, oh, and he follows you. And then the next time you do a Fox body, he, like, unfollows you.
Unfollow. Yep. I do that. Like, my Instagram especially, it's like every week, 5 new followers next week, -2.
Yes.
And then 5 more, then -2.
It's the same thing. Like, I'll post, like, food or a drink from, like, that we did on Man Seeks Adventure, and I'll get all these people that, you know, it's like Orange County Food Guy or this, you know. And then the next week when I post a car or something, you know, like some old muscle car, it's like, why am I following this guy?
Well,
you know,
when I got here today, I posted a picture of all your Bondspeed wheels in the lobby. So that's an automatic -5 followers, I think.
They'll be like, what? Billet wheels?
Billet wheels? That's not Lamborghini. That's not
exactly. Those aren't Lamborghini wheels.
Actually, they're not even Fox body except for mine.
Yes.
All right, guys.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you next week. We'll be at SoCal
Thank
Speed
you,
Shop.
Doctor.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.